The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. There's a friend of mine who runs a guide service in France, and primarily they guide on Mont Blanc, which is the highest mountain in Western Europe. And, you know, really an iconic mountain for all types of mountaineering sort of sprung up around that area. I mean, it's sort of a playground for outdoors people. It's an amazingly beautiful place. I'm sure some of you have been into that area before. And one time I was having a conversation with him. I was kind of visiting. We weren't climbing or anything in that particular time, but I had the opportunity to climb with him before. And one of the things that he said is that the reason that people keep coming out here, the reason that people put themselves sort of in danger and climb mountains like that, is because it's kind of like a last frontier. You know, everywhere we go now, we have, you know, just so many electronics that are on us, a lot of like safety nets sort of all around us in the world. And I relayed not too long ago the story of my friend and I driving to the Outer Banks after high school, you know, which was a 26-hour drive from where we were in Texas. And at that time, when I relay this story to parents now, that my friend and I at, you know, 18 years old did a 26-hour drive with just a road atlas and no cell phones, people think that's just like a crazy idea that you would let teenagers do that. But those of you that are older than me realize that you had even less than that in terms of communication at other points in your life. That if you were out and you couldn't get in touch with somebody, that's just what happened. You know, you couldn't get in touch with them right away and kind of call a lifeline. And he said, I think that's why people still come out here. Because as we see, especially in our city, you know, the one thing that we still don't seem to have a grasp of with all of the technology that we have at our disposal is the weather. It is absolutely unpredictable. And sometimes it can shut down in an entire, with all the technology, all the, that's usually what breaks technology, right? Is like crazy weather, pipes break, towers go down, all of these things kind of fall into chaos in a lot of ways. And so same thing on these mountains. Man, you know, you never know when you're going to be out there and a storm is just going to come sort of out of nowhere. Even though it was a seemingly beautiful day, and all the technology told us that we were going to have a beautiful day, and then it comes out of nowhere. He said a lot of people are seeking that in their life, actually seeking a place where they don't have safety nets surrounding them all the time, because it actually challenges them. It challenges them to rise above. And so he said, this is one of the last frontiers to be able to do that. And when we realize that the apostles, the people who lived at that time frame in the world, they were outdoors so much in their life, especially those who got their living by the sweat of their brow working outside. These were fishermen that were in the boat with Jesus. This is not the first storm that they had ever come across. And it says that they were terrified. And they say to Jesus, it's just like, do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care that we are about to die? So that's how afraid men who spent their life in boats on the sea were at that moment. So it points to, must have been a pretty bad storm, right? It must have been a ridiculously bad storm to terrify a bunch of fishermen who spend their life out on the water. And so when Jesus casually seems to wake up in this particular situation, and he calms the sea and the wind down with just his words, they were absolutely dumbfounded. Because like I said, even with all we have in our technology in this current day, the weather, the natural world, can still break us down in a second. And they're like, who is this that he even has command of the sea and the wind? I mean, it would still be just like, it would stop every one of us in our tracks if somebody had that kind of power that Jesus had. And because these men spent so much time in that environment, that was probably one of the most impressive miracles that Jesus ever does for them. And again, that's usually the thing that does impress them the most. Remember another one of those stories in the gospel where they're in a boat, and what does he do? He tells them, you know, after not catching fish, you know, and he says, Duc in altum. This is something St. Pope John Paul II reminded us a lot of. He said, Duc in altum, cast your nets into the deep. He gives them the command. Peter has his doubts. He's like, well, we've already been fishing and everything like that. And they bring in such a gigantic catch of fish that the nets are breaking. And again, what's Peter's response in that situation? He's like, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. In the face of that miracle, in the face of the command of God in that particular situation, Jesus doesn't even want to be a part of his company because he doesn't feel like he deserves it. He's like, I am not worthy to even be close to you at all. You know, why am I even here? And then another thing that St. Pope John Paul reminded us of so much, he says in Latin, nolite timere, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's like soon you will be catching men. You know, no longer fish, that your mission is far greater than that. Just like those people who go out there into a difficult situation to climb mountains and do adventurous things, sometimes it reminds us, it helps us build the sense of perseverance and fortitude to face difficult things. It was going to be far greater to be a fisher of men than it was to be just the regular fishermen that they were on that day. But what it was showing them was what we'd call the sovereignty of God. His absolute command over everything. Supreme sovereignty is supreme power. You know, that God is in control of absolutely everything. And it's moments like that that the apostles see it and realize it in those moments. Now, of course, you know, they're pretty bad backsliders, right? They quickly forget, just as we do. We have moments of great grace and consolation sometimes in our life, and then tomorrow we're way back to our, like, ah, nothing's working out. Why is my life so hard? You know, we have our moments like that too, right? But it's often something super profound that we're able to think back on that reminds us that we can overcome because we have overcome before. There's kind of a cute movie that just came out right now that's a Pixar movie called Luca. And I'm sure some of you have already seen it because it just released. And I haven't seen the whole thing, but I saw about half of it at this point. And they're in a little Italian village, and so I sort of like it because they throw out lots of Italian words here and there and everything. And so there's a particular scene, though, where one boy who has just befriended the other boy is helping him sort of get a command of this fear. And so within him, he calls his fear Bruno, you know, and he's just like, just say to yourself, he's like, silenzio Bruno, you know, and so he's trying to get up the courage to do something brave. And so he just says to him, so he says, silenzio Bruno, you know, it's just like, do not be afraid. Nolite timire, do not be afraid. Those are the words that St. Pope John Paul II says once he's elected Pope to the entire world in St. Peter's Square. Do not be afraid. Do you know why he was saying that then, in like 1979? Because of now. Many, many people believe that St. Pope John Paul II was prophetic in many ways. And he saw the way that the world was changing. And he was telling us, do not be afraid. Silencio, Bruno. You know, he's just like, take courage, because you're going to have to overcome many, many things beyond my lifetime. He saw that. He knew that. And this sovereignty of God that we have in the world, you know, there's many difficult questions that often people will ask me as a priest, or many of you might have. And they're always like super difficult to cover, because you're like, this is a hard topic. You know, and sometimes we're not brave enough to talk about the topic a lot of the time. But one of those things a lot of people ask about, especially in the Old Testament, the difficulty of the way that God functions sometime. One of the things that we always have to remind ourselves is that if we ever think God is less, you need to reorient your thought, because he is always more. He's always more than you can, more compassionate, more merciful, more loving. We often try to pull him down into our idea of humanity and the way the world works. Remember, Jesus also says, when the apostles are not thinking clearly, he says, you are thinking as men do, not as God does. Which points to a very important fact, that there is a difference. There's an inherent difference in the way that God functions as the supreme being, as sovereign of all things. So we don't pull him down so he thinks like us. We need to conform ourselves and change ourselves and transform so that we configure to him. After all, that is completely what the Eucharist is about. We receive him so that we can be transformed into his likeness. We receive him so that we could become him. It's all about us changing. Remember, we say God is immutable. He's absolutely unchanging. Sometimes you hear that term, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New. No, one God, unchangeable God, same God. The thing that changes is the people, for better or for worse sometimes, right? So one of the things that a lot of people bring up that's very difficult is like, why would God commit genocide? Like, you know, it seems like sometimes he commands the killing of a whole entire people. This is a very important thing to remember. Often there is more to that story, right? He's trying to tell some of these aspects of the stories are about a people that are so obstinate, it's more about the truth of them being wiped away from the earth, of starting over. Remember, there's always a deeper truth. But here's the thing about God that we need to understand. The author of life, the creator of all things, creator of matter itself, the author of life, the one that creates us, is the only one that actually has a right to take life. That doesn't sit very well with people. But if you go back and start to understand what sovereignty means, God's supreme power over everything, if he sees something in creation that is evil and wicked and obstinate, he's the only one. Remember, we don't have the right to take other people's lives. That's not a right that human beings have. But it is a right that the author of life has. So we have to remember that. We have to stop pulling God down into our situation and the way we would do things, and being like, well, that seems kind of mean, Lord. It's just like, that's a human construct and a concept. Remember, anytime we start to think that he might be less, we have to reorient our thought, because we are wrong, because he is always more. The being that is being itself epitomizes constant state of love, constant state of mercy and compassion. So when we pull him down into our situation and kind of dismantle the way that we function, the way that he functions, we're on the wrong track. Remember, when we sin, what we're doing is God is not pushing us away. We're drawing away from him. which is the moment that Peter feels in that situation. Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's the state we're in. The state we're in is that state that Peter talks about. It's just like, Lord, depart from me. And what does he say to us, though? He's like, no, come to me. You know, be a part of my life. Be one with me. You know, so often we focus so heavily on God's judgment towards us. It's better for us to think of that judgment, that withdrawing, always comes from our side of the equation. Remember, faith, his love, is a free gift, freely offered. Even the Holy Spirit is fully given. It's fully given. But we often have examples of it not being fully received, right? We think about that sacrament of confirmation, when young people receive that. And, you know, you might have your back, well, that didn't seem to take root. You know, you might observe a young person kind of going on a wayward journey or something like that. But remember, a gift can be given, but it can be rejected. And so it's about our receiving of the gift and drawing closer to Christ. Those are the lessons that we're given in this gospel, that we can overcome with Christ. We have to silence the fear within our own hearts and to draw ourselves to him. And we have to constantly reorient our mind to thinking like the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. Because again, who does Jesus say is the ruler of this world? He says, Satan is the ruler of this world. So we attach our things to heavenly realities. We have to start like changing the way that we think and see what's consistent with the way that God functions and the way that he thinks. Because we remember examples like this. He has command of even the weather, something that is completely still outside of human grasp. And so it's a reminder to us of his sovereignty and of his power, and just that we're just like little specks, little grains of sand. But isn't it amazing, though, that each one of us is a unique and unrepeatable speck or grain of sand, infinitely loved by God? That's beyond our capability to even understand fully. But on a day like Father's Day, we think to ourselves, what a good father that is. But we also remember, not everybody has this experience, right? Not everybody has the good modeling of an amazing father, which is all the more reason, any time that this happens, that you allow Mary, Joseph, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, adopt you into that family, to make up for some of those things you may have lacked. My sister told me she was in a conversation with some teachers that she teaches with the other day, and they had said, they were talking about a lot of difficulty in their life, a lot of trials and family difficulties that they had. And my sister said, I'm sorry, guys, I got nothing. She's like, my parents are Mary and Joseph. They are Mary and Joseph and stuff, and it's amazing. My sister's right. My parents have been amazing parents, and some of you have had that experience, but not everyone has had that experience. All the more that we draw close to the Holy Family to let them reign in our life and reconfigure our mind to the mind of Jesus Christ. You know, if we can do that, we might have moments where we say, Lord, depart from me because I'm not worthy to be with you. But then he will always remind us, do not be afraid. You know, come to me, come to me. That's our lesson for all of us, is that so much of it is on our side of things. God constantly offering his love and his free gift of faith to all of us. But we need to receive. We need to receive and realize what a sovereign God that we have. God bless you all and happy Father's Day.